Okay, let's get cracking. We are continuing to learn the sixth parak of Maseches Peah. Today we're going to be learning parak Vav Mishnah Tes and parak Vav Mishnah Yod. Parak Vav Mishnah Tes is going to be continuing our discussion of the laws of Shechcha, and more specifically, it's going to be a continuation of our discussion when it comes to either standing grain, which we learned in the previous Mishnah, or a pile of grain, which we learned in the Mishnah before that, that if either standing grain or a pile of grain equals sasaim, equal to seah of grain, they are exempt, they are not included in the obligation of Shechcha. The assumption is that the farmer or his workers intended to go back for them. Our Mishnah is going to discuss, what if you have a seah? What if you have one seah of standing grain, and you have one seah of a pile of grain? Can those be mitzarif? Can those be combined in order to exempt both the standing grain and the pile of grain from Shechcha? Says the Mishnah, Sa tzvua akura, u'se'a she'ena akura. You have a seah of grain that is detached from the ground, that is a pile. And you have a seah of grain that is not detached from the ground, namely is standing. So you have a seah of standing grain next to a seah of a pile of grain. So the question is, can those be mitzarif? Can we combine the seah of standing grain and the seah of the pile of grain to equal sasayim and therefore exempt all of this from Shechcha? Continues the Mishnah, v'chein ba'ilam. The same is true when it comes to a tree. You have some fruits from the tree that are obligated in Shechcha. Some were forgotten to be taken off of the tree. They're still on the tree. They weren't picked yet. And some are just a pile of fruits on the ground. So the same Jew, we have a say of fruits that are on the tree and a say of fruits that are in a pile next to the tree. V'hashum v'habitzolim, and you have garlic and you have onions. Also, different vegetables, different produce that would be required normally to be left there if they were forgotten. Says the Mishnah, einon mitzarfin l'sasayim ela shel aniyim heim. Says the Tanakhama, you cannot combine these different amounts to equal sasayim, and therefore they belong to the poor people. They would not be considered shecha, and the owner, the farmer, the workers would need to leave them for the poor people. Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and Rabbi Yossi says, im bas rishos ha'ani be'emtza. If the possessions of the poor person is in the middle, so let's say leket, you have a pile of standing grain, that's a seah, and you have a pile of wheat, of stalks, that have a saw, and in the middle is leket, different stalks of grain that were simply left there, that were simply forgotten. So says Rabbi Yossi, einon mitzarfin. If the possessions of the poor people, if the leket of the poor people is in between the standing grain and in between the pile of grain, then einon mitzarfin. We can't combine them. They're two disparate, separate entities. They can't be combined, and therefore they would be a shecha, and they would have to be left for the poor. V'imlav, but says Rabbi Yossi, if not, if there's no leket, if the poor people don't have anything that belongs to them in between the standing grain and the pile of grain, hari elum mitzarfin, they can be combined to equal sasayim, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, they would not be included in the laws of shecha, and they would be able to go and collect them. We should just notice the Bartanura point that we paskin like the Tanakhama, namely, under no circumstances can we ever combine standing grain with the pile of grain for the purpose of this equaling sasayim to exempt it from Shechcha. We are going to continue now with Perek Vav, Mishnah Yod, as we discuss various grains, various types of grain, various types of produce that would or would not be included in the laws of Shechcha. Says the Mishnah, Tevua shenitna l'shachas, grain that is used, l'shachas generally means for destructive purposes, but really here it means like for animal fodder. We're giving the grain as bird feed, some sort of food for the animals, giving it to the cow and so on. You're not looking to eat it yourself, you're not looking to make it into anything that's edible for human beings, you're just using it for animals. Ola aluma. Or you're using the grain simply to tie other grain. The grain that you're tying into a bundle, that you're going to want to use for your own purpose. But this particular grain, you're just using to tie other grain. V'chein ba'agudei hashum. Or you have shoots of barley that are being used to tie up other barley. V'agudas hashum v'habitzolim. Or you have bundles, very small bundles of garlic. I said barley before, I meant garlic. Of garlic v'habitzolim. or small bundles of onions, ein lahen shecha. In all of these situations, this is not qualifying as shecha. This is not considered shecha, and therefore the farmer may go back and get it. For the first bunch of cases, the grain that was used for fodder, or to tie up other grain, or the barley that was used to tie up other barley, the reason why those things are in shecha is because shecha has to be produce that is going to be eaten by a human being. If it's just being used for animal food or for some other purpose to tie up grain and so on, then it would not be considered shecha. And the reason why the small bundles of barley and the small bundles of onion are not considered shecha is because, as we learned a bunch of Mishnayos ago, shecha is only applicable when that's its final stage, when it was forgotten at its final stage. But because they're small bundles, they're going to be made into larger bundles, and then if they were going to be forgotten as part of the larger bundles, then that's shecha. But to be forgotten when they're only in small bundles still being gathered together, that would not be considered shecha. Continues the Mishnah, v'chol ha-temunim ba'aretz, and anything that grows, that a lot of the edible parts of the fruit or the produce grows in the ground, kigon haluf, like a loof, which is like a type of an onion, v'hashem, or a garlic, v'habitzalim, or onions. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein lahem shecha, says Rabbi Yehuda, they're not considered to be shecha. They grow as part of the ground, and therefore, if you forget them in the ground, that's how they're growing. The chachamim omrim yesh lahem shecha, but the chachamim say no. That even if it's a part of the produce that grows in the ground, that's how it grows. That's how it sprouts. It would be considered shecha according to the chachamim. What are they arguing about? So if you look in the Bar Tanur, it'll explain based on different psukim. Not for our purposes right now, but it's a machlokas whether you have when you have produce that grows not on a tree or not from something in the ground, but it grows within the ground itself, it's in the ground, then it's a machlokas whether that is qualified as part of shecha or not. Quick review. Perek Vav Mishnah Tes discussed the question of whether you could be mitzvah, whether we can combine a standing grain with piles of grain for the purposes of exempting it from shecha. You have a seah of each. Can we make sasaim out of that? That seems to be, according to the Tanakhama, no. According to Rabbi Yossi, maybe. But we paskin like the Tanakhama. And then Perek Vav Mishnah Yud discussed various types of produce, types of grains that are not included in the laws of shecha, mostly because they're not used for produce. They're not going to be eaten. They're not going to be used for actual food. They're being used for external purposes, and therefore that is not included in the laws of shecha. And then the Mishnah ended up, according to Machlokas, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, regarding a situation where you have the edible part of a produce that grows in the ground itself. Is that considered within the laws of shecha or not? Have a great day.